Ooh, I'm getting an echo from somewhere. Joe, I think it's you, but it's okay. Greetings, everyone. John, I'm assuming you can still hear me. Welcome to this week's Coffee with Digital Trailblazers, our first official summer. Well, I guess it's the second official summer session. Thanks, John. But first in the heyday and heat of the summer. We celebrated 4th of July yesterday. So for those of you who are here, I hope you're getting some time off. But I'm so glad you joined us. I really wasn't sure what the attendance would look like today, being likely a long weekend for many people. And if you are joining while on vacation, thank you for joining us. And if you're working today, hopefully you have something like a short Friday or a slightly less than busier than usual Friday so that you can go from the holiday yesterday and to your weekend coming up tonight. So thank you for joining. This week we're covering a topic that I hope some of you will raise your hand and join us. I got my normal crew here with Joanne and Martin and Joe joining to me today. But if you have not been up here before and you would like to contribute, to raise your hand to speak. We're talking about lifelong learning and how digital trailblazers should have fun, plan some learning and grow, plan for some growth over the summer. The impetus I find is that many organizations do have some kind of slowdown over the summer months, some kind of way of getting yourself back to your bearings. Sometimes it's just a natural slowdown. Sometimes it's through how the cycles enable them or enable a slight slowdown during the summer. Sometimes just because there are fewer meetings, because fewer people are around. And, you know, not every company I have found is as open to providing training and providing structured learning programs for their employees as much as I would hope they do. And so they leave it up to you. And as a digital trailblazer, it's always up to you to find ways to continue to grow and learn. And the fun part here is about having fun doing this, not just having fun in what you're planning for the summer, which I hope some of you will share about what your plans are, but also having fun in some of the things that you're learning. And so this is a pretty open-ended conversation. If you have not joined us here, on the floor, this is an easy one to join because there's no right or wrong answers. I am spending part of my summer getting ready to launch the second version of my community. It's currently called the Digital Star CIO Digital Trailblazer Community, and it's what I'm calling 2.0 of it. Some of my regulars, Joanne, Martin, Joe, John, and Heather, have access to it, so I'm going through with them through an alpha period. And at some point in the next few weeks, I'm gonna open the door for all of you to be able to join and take a look at it. I'm not sure if I'm gonna keep the name Star CIO Digital Trailblazer Community. It's one of the things I'm wrestling with, but this is a very much learning and experiment exercise. My son Ronan has been our developer intern on it. So I've been learning to have an intern again and having my son as an intern. He's here listening into this session. And we're learning to work together through the trials and triumphs of many platforms to figure out how to make this work. So that's just one of the things I'm working on, one of the things I'm learning through. I would love to say I'm having fun, but the fun will start when some of you join and provide some feedback back to me. So Joanne, love to hear your input on this. What are you learning? How are you growing this summer? How are you having fun?
Well, I'm going to start with how am I growing. Unfortunately, I think I'm shrinking rather than growing. I hit 5 feet at one point, and I'm hopeful that I could still grow a little bit more, but I don't think that's possible anymore. But I'm also in the process of doing a couple of different certs, one in AI, and the other in bringing AI into the enterprise from a strategic perspective. So I won't name names about which universities are involved, but it's quite interesting. The other thing I'm doing, I'm rereading for the second time, John Wolpert's The Two-But Rule, which I highly recommend to everybody. It's how to turn negative thinking into positive outcomes. And it's really useful in a lot of respects. It takes a while to get the hang of, but it is really useful because we often tend to think that the word but is an automatic turnoff to anybody listening to us. And in fact, that can be changed in a very positive way. And as for having fun, well, you well know I'm a gardener, so I've been having lots of fun growing things in my garden, some of which are edibles, some of which are vegetables, and some of which are just for display. I don't think I would eat roses, but hopefully, you know, somewhere in the world people do. And that's kind of what I'm up to this summer.
Joanne, you're a gardener and I'm a weeder. there's just constant weeding in my backyard. It's like an overgrown jungle if I let it go a week. I will not say it's a fun hobby, but it's certainly a calorie-burning hobby. And, I ran into my other office to escape the heat. I left my phone upstairs. I'm doing quite a bit of reading this summer, so I'd love to hear Martin and Joe what you're reading. I just finished a book around launching a SaaS, and anybody who's doing anything around SaaS, if you need a good book recommendation, I'll share that one. I'm also reading a book around branding, obviously doing a lot of work around that. So anybody doing that kind of work, let me know and I'll put it in the comments after the session about what two books I'm in the middle of reading. Martin, thanks for joining. While you're definitely having some fun. I don't know if you want to share what you're up to. It's definitely something very interesting. I would start there if you're willing to share with the group.
Okay. It's a big car show week here. We have a very large car show this weekend, but the fun kind of starts about Wednesday. I'm big into my cars. So I have had a couple of cars out and about in different events and things. And yeah, it's all good fun. So trouble is the weather's not, it's been okay so far this week. But the rain comes in tonight, so tomorrow is going to be a bit of a washout. Although it does seem to dry up kind of early Sunday morning. So hopefully Sunday will still be a good day for the car show. Or one of the days for the car show anyway. So anyway, what am I doing learning-wise? I'm not reading too much at the moment. I have a stack of books I should be reading. You know, there's one here called The AI Advantage, for example, that I should be reading. My learning has been a lot more practical recently. I've joined my first commercial board of directors. I've been on other boards of directors for a while, but it's my first commercial board of directors. So I'm learning more about being a board director. So there'll be some learning with the ICD, so that side of things. And the other thing I do is there is a not-for-profit that I do project assessments for and project monitoring for. Related to manufacturing, particularly technology of manufacturing. So I find that kind of really stretches me because it's cutting edge projects that I'm reviewing and I'm trying to understand what these projects are and whether they should be funded and things like that and scoring these projects. So there's a lot of new learning for me about, you know, some of it's AI, some of it's about quantum computing, some of its other subjects I wouldn't normally get involved in, but it's kind of, you know, broadening my horizons, let's put it that way.
Martin, let everyone know where the car show is, and maybe you can go a second deeper into this. You know, you're in that situation where you're being parachuted into a forest where you know, you don't know the signs of danger and opportunity, and you don't have all the tools. How are you learning about quantum? How are you learning about AI? And what's the experience like about being put into a pretty senior role as a board director and as an audit of these projects where you literally have to learn everything on the fly very quickly?
And that's a pretty good way of putting it. Yeah, you use all of the experience you've had over the years and other things to make sense of these new experiences and how do you kind of orientate yourself to these things. Yeah, the board director thing. Obviously, there's a lot of good material out there from organizations like ICD, NACD, the Private Directors Association, the Digital Directors Association. There's various organizations around North America that have very good material that you can learn from. So And there's also a lot of good articles out there as well. So I read some of those, and I've done some of that side of things. And some of it will be actually taking some courses, which I will be doing, on the kind of project assessing and things like that. It's usually a case of I have enough background in enough diverse subjects that you're reading these things and you're saying, okay, can I make sense of what's being told to me here? And then sometimes you have to go away and actually you do a bit of extra research to say, okay, let me understand what this is talking about. Yeah, what is it talking about? New types of algorithms? Is it talking about new types of computing? Yeah, what is quantum computing, for example? Yeah, you can get into that side of things. But yeah, I find just taking yourself out of your comfort zone. I think if you put it more generally, yeah, I can dig into it a little bit. It's take yourself out of your comfort zone. Do something different. Challenge yourself to do something different. Don't just assume that you can only do the same things. And that's maybe a more general life lesson kind of things is don't get stuck in a rut of just thinking you can only do certain things. Yeah, do something different. Take yourself out of your comfort zone. Yeah, if you're, for example, an introvert, then do something that takes you out of yourself, actually makes you uncomfortable. Yeah, do some public speaking. Yeah, go and volunteer at a charity radio station. Whatever it might be. Yeah, join an amateur dramatic society. Things that take yourself out of your comfort zone, do something different.
Great stuff, Martin. And where is the car show?
Oh, in Atlantic Canada, up in New Brunswick. So
there you go. I don't know how many people here are nearby, but that would be a fun thing to go to next.
It's a pretty large car show, but so the weather tomorrow is not looking brilliant.
Joe, you want to chime in here?
Sure. I can really relate, Martin. I 100% agree with you. A trailblazer must be able to step outside their comfort zone. And so on the professional side, Isaac, what I've done a lot of, and you know this recently, I chair a lot of panels. And in so doing, it really forces me to do a little research around whatever the topic may be on that panel, whether it's current topics like Gen AI or, you know, just the usual run-of-the-mill CIO issues that people deal with, budgets and security and so on and so forth. So interacting with some other people and learning from their experiences, listening to them, questioning them is a great way to grow professionally. But to build on what Martin said, or, you know, outside your comfort zone, to grow professionally and personally, you want to do some things that perhaps you haven't done before. I've also been fortunate in getting a seat on a board of a commercial company, and they're early in their life. And so I'm learning about the struggles, the realities of the need for good cash flow and funding inventory and driving sales and learning new terms in marketing about ROA and other things of that sort. And on a completely different dimension, for whatever reason, earlier this year, I chose to take up cooking. So I'm, to your question about what are you doing that's fun? Well, when the recipe comes out well, it's fun to eat.
Isaac, if I could jump in here for a second, to Martin's point and to Joe's point, I mean, I do a lot of panels and interviews and stuff like that regularly. But one of the things that I find very fascinating is when I get thrown into a situation to both sides where you actually have to do an audit of a project. And I happen to do them in a similar way to Martin in a couple of different countries. And I'm also involved with the National Academies of Engineering in the US. So I get to hear what's going on in and see what's going on in university curriculums, for example. So that to me is fun because as a person who can bring some insight and influence, it's no, you're going down the wrong path. You should be going down this path when you're choosing the one that you're going down. You know, we don't need more complex quadratic equations. We need some apprenticeships. we need to teach people how to live in the world of manufacturing or industrials or industries that will come up because of AI in the next few years, like robotics. And so I think it's not only fun to look at projects as they're coming into the market and looking at the commercialization potential for them, but also to see how we can feed back into the university systems to a degree those situations where there would be opportunity and to help guide and direct what that Gen A path will look like.
Yeah, I love this topic of finding your bearings when you're being parachuted into a new environment. And so that's definitely going to be a topic I schedule in an upcoming month. I think we could spend, a ton of time talking about this because as a CIO coming into a new world, as a consultant coming into a new world, or as an advisor, you got to do a lot of learning on the fly around this. And it's a skill set in itself about how to ask the right questions and what to research and, how to develop a relationship with people who can share more information with you willingly. So I think we're going to have a whole dedicated subject around this. Joe, I love that you introduced panel moderations. You're one of the best panel moderators I've seen. Joanne, you and I have to be at a conference together. I'd love to see you work a room as a moderator. But for those of you who, have the chance to be able to be on a panel or be a moderator, they're fantastic opportunities to really try yourself doing something that you may have not done before in a pretty safe environment, right? People are going to come and listen, and chances are, quite frankly, they'll remember a few things of what happened that day and move on. So you really get a chance to explore what you can share, but also learn a lot from people at the same time. Who's up? Go ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I was probably the beginning of next week, I'll post some links to some recent stuff that I've done. And one of the ones that I found very kind of different was I did one for Industry Week, which was basically on economics more than on manufacturing, but how manufacturing fits into the economics of the world. It's an Industry Week one. And that I found quite interesting because it really had nothing to do with the technology itself and everything to do with GDP. And while I do have background in economics, it's not my chosen path. So I did have to do some updating of skills. And I think to your point, how you work a room and how you ask questions and where the people skills come into play is definitely not only around the five E's, but also around the environment of it. You know, are you with people who are very, serious people? Are you with people who are a little bit more lighthearted? How can you bring some fun and joviality to the discussion without it diverting the topic and without it diverting the stream? So yeah, we should do one together one day.
That'd be a fun time. Yeah, we'll have to have a live coffee hour one day when we have enough supporters and maybe a sponsor or two, and we'll pick a location. Martin and I were joking that if we had an event in Syracuse, it would probably be the triangular equivalent of all of us being able to get together in one space from where we all live. Maybe we'll have to do some kind of live event like that someday. Joe, I want to bring the conversation back to you. Joanne mentioned books. I do a lot of reading and writing. That's my preferred method of learning. You're learning something new. What's your go-to for how you're going to tackle that challenge first?
Whoa, tough question. I have not read, I'm in Martin's camp on this one. I haven't read a lot of books around our industry lately, other than the impact of social media and isolation on the upcoming youth. I don't know if Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. I'm about three quarters of the way through that. It's actually quite frightening what the technology and the isolation has done. I do tend to read periodicals every day. I get a flash from the New York Times, Time Magazine, of course, the old staples, Computer World, CIO Magazine, you know, all of that. So I stay current on what's topical. And as I'm sure some of you know, I often will post something on LinkedIn and either agree, comment on it in some way, shape, or form, or once in a while, call BS.
And how about you, Martin? I think I remember you telling me you were a big podcast fan. Do I have that memory right?
Sometimes. It depends on whether I'm driving and other things like that. Yeah, so it really depends. I do like books, but I've got out of the habit. So I kind of force myself by doing more experiential things these days because that makes me focus. And I don't know, it just... Yeah, I used to read quite a few books, but I just kind of got out the habit a bit more, and maybe it's because so much more is online. So I'll read a lot of articles, like Joe says. I will look at a lot of summaries of things and different aspects like that. So it's all good. And I think you commented on panels and things like that, and panels are great. Yeah, I chaired or moderated a panel last year at the Harvard Club in Boston of CIOs, and that was a really good one to moderate. I love doing that, and I'm doing another one later this year in September this year at that same location, which is great. But it's also as well making contacts and volunteering to write articles and things like that. So I just want to take it a slightly different direction. The actually talking to appropriate people and volunteering to write an article on a certain subject is a great way to force yourself to research and learn. And I just by accident, kind of about 4 or 5 years ago, I happened to be talking to somebody from Fluke, and Fluke is a big engineering tool company. You make a lot of metering equipment, things like that. And about a year later or so, and they said to me, do you want to do a webinar for us on maintenance, predictive maintenance, different types of maintenance? And I thought, hang on, I'm a CIO, I'm an IT guy. What do I know about maintenance? Turns out I actually knew, I did a little tiny bit of research. I actually knew an awful lot about predictive maintenance, prescriptive maintenance, etc. And I did a webinar for them. I brought in somebody I knew who had a more detailed practical knowledge and gave some examples, but I led a webinar for this company, the big international company, on this subject. And it was taking yourself out of your comfort zone and doing something different. But, writing articles, volunteering to do a webinar, all of these types of things help you learn because it forces you to actually focus on something, research it, dig into it through whatever means, and write about it, be it slides or be it an article, be it a blog post. And I've always found that the act of writing an article or a blog post, whatever you want to call it, forces you to research and read other posts, other blog posts, other useful pieces of knowledge, etc. And that act drives a lot of it home, and you learn and you remember a lot more as well, rather than just reading something for the sake of reading it.
Martin, you're singing my song, music to my ears. I think that's a tremendous opportunity here for everybody, particularly if it's an area that you have some comfort in some expertise on. Writing really helps you organize your thoughts and put it out in a structured way, starts getting you in a mode of how you teach people what you know and giving back. It's equally interesting, and I do a lot of this, being able to write about something you know maybe a tad less about than you feel comfortable with, and you need to put yourself through the research, learning, reviewing to a point where you have enough confidence to be able to go write about that particular subject and feel like you're using terminology right, you're providing some insights. That's a tremendous exercise for folks. You can do that in any particular field. You don't need to necessarily have a blog to do this. You can go do a LinkedIn post or something like that around it. I know a lot of people who do it just as micro posts instead of full articles on LinkedIn. So lots of ways to do this. But I think that's both learning, it's teaching, it's getting out of your comfort zone. These are all great activities. Joe, you went off book. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add to that because I think Martin's hit on something, and you also reiterated one of the suggestions I often make to people is that if you can write an article, that's great. But if you're not a writer, you know, some people just don't have the practice of writing a lengthy article or don't have the time to write a lengthy article. Comments on LinkedIn are perfectly adequate to get your point of view out or to further the conversation or to perhaps even engage in a little bit of debate. And this is intellectual stimulation. And it does help a person to grow, and it's really, really easy to do.
Thanks, Joe. I'm going to take my break now, and then what I want to do is maybe turn the equation around. Let's put ourselves in the role of mentoring others, other digital trailblazers. Maybe they're on our staff, maybe they're direct mentors. What should they be doing this summer if they don't have an agenda set out? What are some things you would recommend going out and doing and learning, trying to pique their curiosity to find something new to focus on? Just another invitation for everybody out who's listening. If you have not joined us before as a speaker, do raise your hand. Come and share with us what you're doing this summer in terms of learning, growth, or just having fun. And just got John up here. But, Joanne, Martin, John, we're going to flip the script around and talk about how we help people find a program of learning, fun, and growth over the summer. Folks, thanks for joining me this holiday weekend here in the U.S. and long holiday weekend out in Canada for this episode 86 of the Coffee with Digital Trailblazers. Most of you, I'm looking down at everybody here, are regulars. You know, we meet every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time for a discussion around what it takes to lead digital transformation initiatives for yourself and your organization. I did announce next week's episodes. I'm just going to share with you the upcoming ones. Next week on the 12th, we'll be talking about AI era transformation advantages and challenges in Industry 4.0. That was a recommendation from one of our listeners. On the 19th, we'll be talking about culture transformation, turning around a jaded, demoralized department. Martin, this sort of came up in a conversation I think we were having around change management. And I said, you know what? Let's go into the darker areas where you take over or you're involved with a department that's clearly hurting, has been through some bad management experience, like getting darts thrown at them. How do we start turning that around? Then last week, Liz Martinez, I think I saw her here. We started talking about what it takes to create an organization that is running an AI program, what it takes to put that together. And we talked about how everything seems to fall into the box of governance, even though nobody wants to talk about governance. So we're going to talk about the PMO's role in AI and driving innovation and about accelerating transformation. This will be a governance topic where we don't use the word governance. We'll have a little kitty for those of us who use that word so we can avoid it. And then on the 2nd August, cultivating digital trailblazers, preparing for an executive interview. Joe, I think this came up during our CIO in transition discussion and what advice we can get for people who are, you know, maybe in the quieter months of the year and then know they're going to be looking harder over the fall. What advice can we get them about preparing for that executive interview? So those are the 4 upcoming episodes. As always, I've left you links in the comments. If you go to starcio.com/coffee/next-event, that's currently posting to today's episode. If you click on comments, you'll see the links in there. And later this afternoon, we'll be resetting that redirect to next week's episode so that you can come and join early. So thank you for joining this holiday weekend, and I'm glad you're all here listening to us talk about how digital trailblazers can support lifelong learning, have fun, and grow over the summer months. Let's talk about how we prep our teams, how we prep our mentees coming in. You ask them the question, what are you doing this summer to learn, to grow, and have fun? And you get a blank stare. John, your general thoughts on the subject, what are you doing this summer? And then how do you answer the question for the people on your team? How do you help them find answers for themselves?
Well, personally, myself, one thing I try to do is I try to read every single book that's recommended to me, which means I always have this huge backlog of books. But I'm really just crushing through a bunch of books right now that, like, Seth Godin recommended. I'm reading a bunch of Isaac Asimov books based off of one of the comments that somebody made a few weeks ago. In the professional life, at my company, we keep a learning kind of list of certificates that people have to take. And so we develop individual training programs for each people based off the level and are very prescriptive on the specific certificates they have to get from specific companies so that they stay relevant in their careers. And then one other thing is that I have a lot of people reach out to me asking, how can I get into tech, or how can I get into analytics or being a product manager? And I just keep a written kind of recommended book list for people. And then a recommended set of certificates for people to take. And that makes it really easy and for people. And so if they come asking for how can I get into something, I'm able to recommend books. And then I ask them just to check in as I read the books. And so I can see if they're really interested in kind of going in the direction that they say they want to go.
John, are you on Goodreads? Do you share the books you read?
No, I should do that. What I actually do is I just have a Google document, which I put the books I read and I put my feedback in about the books. But I really should get into something that's more formal.
Yeah, I'm on Goodreads. You can easily find me there, anybody who's listening. I also publish a blog post at least once or twice a year of my favorite reads of the year and the full list of reads. And I'll confess, most of it is listening through Audible. It's not as great of an experience, but I do get to listen to quite a few books, and I do get to still capture notes. A lot of them have good PDFs that accompany the book. So if you struggle with just reading, I think give the Audible experience a try. You can get through a lot of books that way, and you can find all my books that way over there. Joe, what are you recommending to teams and to your mentees about getting ready for the summer?
Well, I like to take a slightly different perspective on how people should spend their summers. Instead of reading up on Gen AI and cybersecurity and other technology, tech-based materials, why don't you spend a little time understanding the business that you serve and understanding the competitors that your business, your industry competes with? And it's easier, it's perhaps more interesting, it's outside of what you would normally be, the courses you might normally be taking on LinkedIn or at Google or Microsoft. And it's going to make you a much more valuable individual when you get back to work in the fall.
Learn about the business. Can't get enough of that. Kato, welcome to the floor. It's good seeing you again. You'll have to go off mute. There you go. You had it.
Yeah, thanks, Isaac. Thanks for having me in. Yeah, so just a very quick kind of update on what I'm cooking for this summer. And I'm cooking an AI hackathon. And again, hackathons can sound scary, but really it's quite basic. So we're going to experiment with building very basic chatbots, whether it's using ChatGPT, custom GPTs, or making use of the Poe platform, which allows you to easily prompt a model, use RAGs or connect it to a knowledge base. And we're doing this from a variety of reasons. And one of them is it's fun. You can get staff engaged. It doesn't necessarily feel like work. But then we go into kind of real business questions. And simply by just asking staff, if you had a 24/7 assistant, what would you ask it to help you with? Sometimes it's interesting because you see staff kind of struggling with the idea, and they can't really think about what exactly they would use a 24/7 assistant for. But then as we explore those questions, we come up with some very interesting answers, but also very interesting ideas. that we get to put in practice, we can test them. You know, we play a bit with the technology, such as RAG, so connecting to a knowledge base, but then we can take it even further. So we can think about, well, if you got a great idea, maybe we can then, you know, uncover certain areas where we need a bit more training on, such as, for example, data. You know, maybe data literacy comes into play, since we can't fully understand what kind of data insight we're trying to get from a chatbot, but also how we can scale up potentially predictive models, you know, going from generative AI to kind of taking back a step and going into more traditional machine learning and predictive analytics. And again, in all in a very nice, fun way, which starts as just having a little bit of fun, but then that can uncover some real kind of, you know, business important insights that we can then scale, obviously, as the technology scale, but also as our staff upskill in a variety of areas. And I think really here is where I see the true transformative power of generative AI, because it offers unparalleled level of ability to play with a lot of the concepts that otherwise people wouldn't have thought about. So again, in a nutshell, this is the plan I'm cooking for the next 2 months.
Kato, thank you for sharing, especially the bit around hackathon. I think there's two sides to that for everybody to think about, not just joining a hackathon, which can feel like a pretty large step, especially if you're not in a developer role, but think about even just observing or judging one. I've judged a few of them. They're a tremendous amount of fun. And then even not just judging hackathons, but if you're in a major city, particularly one with a startup community, there are all kinds of events where you can watch startup founders pitch. You can meet startup founders in matchmaking type of situations where you can learn what the latest startups are working on. A lot of them do events over the summer because, quite frankly, the bigger events aren't happening over the summer, so they have more opportunity to try to get you to come and see what people are doing. So I think they're really, really smart for people to get involved with over the summer. Kristen, it's great to see you again. Welcome to the floor. What are you learning, growing, and having fun this summer?
Yeah, so I tend to pick my learning in topics as opposed to necessarily having, you know, specific to reading or specific to whatever medium, but more on the topic. So my topic for the summer is around information security, because most of my career I've been really focused on the business applications and how it ties to IT. And I haven't really gotten into the deep information security side of things. And so I want to learn more of that so I can tie it back to the business applications even more. The other thing that I'm looking to do is join a nonprofit board as a board member, because I've always been in a nonprofit as an employee. And so I'd really like to be on a board looking at that perspective of things. So that's sort of my goals. My personal goal outside of professional is actually to continue to learn golf and get better at it. So
that's awesome, Kristen. You know, when Martin was speaking earlier about being parachuted into environments, nonprofits were the first area that came to my mind. You don't necessarily have to join a nonprofit or be on a board of a nonprofit. All you need to do is get involved, particularly the ones that are going to be a little bit more accessible in your neighborhood, in your area, and go look at how they're operating. And the smaller they are, the more likely you're going to find a lot of spreadsheets and emails and a lot of duct tape and a lot of places where somebody with your experience can come in and suggest a tool or suggest an automation or just look for a better way of helping them use technology to be more efficient or to grow their donor base or just get the word out. So I think nonprofits is a great way to provide ideas back to people you are mentoring about places to grow and learn from, and maybe even have some fun over the summer. Joanne, I want to come right back to you. What are you offering suggestions to people that you work with about how to fill their time over the summer with growth and learning and fun initiatives?
Well, first of all, my recommendation is when it comes to growth and learning, family first. You know, we're all so busy the rest of the year, whether it's with conferences and deadlines and meetings and whatever. Summer is the time to really reconnect with the family, if you can at all. So that's number one. And number two, it's not only look for nonprofits, but look for those that are, in a way, pay forward, give back. Technical standards development is a, and industry groups are a really, really good way to accomplish more than a few things. It's learning about the industry that you work in from the other side of the fence, meaning what your competitors are doing, what the rest of the industry is doing in terms of technology and digital transformation. But also it's a way to network. It's a way to get involved in, if you think a standard might help, this is where they really start. It's a group of people in an industry who get together and figure out that, you know, if they changed or wrote a technical standard, that the rest might follow suit with, because everybody's having the same problem. And it's an amazing process. It's a long process. It can be very frustrating. Sometimes you don't get a lot of support internally for it. But if you can conquer that last barrier, which is getting internal support by showing the business value that it brings, it's a definitely worthwhile experience. I've been involved in probably four different industry groups that write technical standards for their industry. And today that would be the equivalent of writing a small language model for your industry. How can your industry bring in AI in a way that's accessible to them, but really more valuable to them than the large language model? So that would be my second recommendation. And last but not least, I would say start playing with code. Even if it's just how to write a better prompt in Gen AI, look at it. There are plenty of capabilities out there, programs out there that will teach you how to go beyond. Devin is one that I play with a lot because it does write code. And then you can go back and look at it and see if it's actually doing what you think it is. And there are plenty of ChatGPT plugins and for the other large language models as well. Hands-on is the best way to learn.
Brilliant, Joanne. I love the idea of people experimenting, learning to code. I think it's a, you know, in using LLMs to do that. Some really, Joanne's still a hacker. So am I, Martin. Nothing wrong with getting your hands dirty with some tools and figuring this out. But Martin, I want to come back to you and then to Kristen. Martin, you mentioned AI and quantum, and Kristen, you mentioned security. You know, AI and security have the one piece in common. They're very broad and very deep topics. They can become very intimidating very quickly if all of a sudden you got need to go from, I need to know a lot more about this, to how do I do this efficiently? What do I focus on? I'm just kind of interested in you, what you can share about your experience, about what you chose to focus on. Where did you get your learnings from? What advice you would give people around broad topics like AI and security? And then Martin, jump into quantum, because that's the reverse end of it. That's a very net, very emerging area. There's a lot of, you know, I would say articles about the capability, and then you're getting into real science engineering articles about how quantum works. So how do you get into something in between those two extremes?
Well, some of it's the old joke, isn't it? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Yeah. And it starts with that approach. And yeah, it can be very overwhelming. You look at some of these topics and how large and how broad and everything else they are. The best way is to focus on something that is either of interest to you or something that has practical use to you. So maybe it's something related to your business or your work that is appropriate. And, you know, let's stick with AI for a second, because it may be an easier topic to talk about on this. Am I interested in, how to use ChatGPT? Well, yeah, then ask ChatGPT how to use ChatGPT. Is one way to go about some of that. But I quite like an AI-driven tool called Perplexity, which is kind of a search on steroids with AI on it as well. And I'll ask Perplexity, give me a brief introduction to a particular topic. And one of the beauties of it is that it does it in such a way that it references where it got its sources from. So you can read the summary and then click through to the sources and dig a bit deeper. And so using that type of approach, I find is very useful. Asking, you know, those tools to explain it in simple terms allows you to start getting into a subject. And then if it's something you don't understand, you can Google or use Perplexity again to dive into that particular subject a little more. Does that help? So it's not a particular source or anything else, Isaac. It's a case of just going where it takes you, but start with an idea of what you want to learn. Try to be a bit more specific.
Yeah, I'm going to translate what you're suggesting, Martin, and maybe go a step further and say maybe, you know, throw out a problem you might want to solve with a particular solution. And, you know, so maybe it's an LLM and maybe it's prompting, or maybe it's, you know, how do you solve, you know, a mapping, satellite mapping function with a quantum computer differently. Start out with a problem statement, even if the solution isn't the right one, but at least it's giving you an angle to go learn about how to go about doing this. And along that journey, you're going to realize, oh, you know, maybe I'm picking the wrong technology for this. I'm going to learn about something else that seems more the more appropriate solution. But I think when you apply that learning to a problem statement, it's going to put on that investigative hat. It's going to put on that research hat. And instead of being overwhelmed with by the breadth and depth of a subject, you're now channeling it toward a very particular problem. Kristen, how are you doing this in security?
To be honest, I just sort of, a lot of the, I get notifications from the CIA.com website with different articles. And so when I just, you know, see different ones that are security related, I save them. And then I read them, and then I find, you know, often that there's links in there that sort of go out and, you know, say, you know, read this and read that. So it's more of like a spiderweb sort of search.
And what areas are you focused on?
For me, mostly, you know, around the data protection on the PII side now, and how to like really dive in and see what, you know, how to explore. Can I find personal data, even though technically there's not supposed to be personal data there, and researching the tools that actually do that deep dive.
Got it. So there's your problem statement. What are the tools and terminology around discovery around PII and other confidential information?
Yeah.
How people are doing this, who are the vendors in this space, how do they get access to this? And, you know, you work at a large nonprofit, but I'm going to guess you don't have the typical subscriptions to the analysts. And even if they did, you may not have, they may not be the right solutions for you. Do I have that right?
That is very correct. We're a huge, large nonprofit that actually functions like a mom and pop. And so there's a ton of opportunity to improve our space there. The other thing is it's multiple countries. So we're in 59 different countries, and each one of those, you know, the culture and the laws behind different datas are all different too. So
I sense another topic here about how we do technology search and selection these days, because it's, you know, there's tends to be the Wild West of, you know, let's take the two or three that we know about and start prototyping around it to the, you know, let's start with the upper right quadrants with whatever analyst firm you're using and work our way down from there. John, you're giving me a thumbs up, and I know you're also do a lot of solutions oriented work. What are you using to learn about new solutions?
One thing that's been an absolute blast is for the last year, we invite security vendors on Thursday morning from 8 to 9 to come in and talk about their products and how they help customers and kind of like what they're seeing in the industry. And we call it our Cyber Power Thursday. And it's kind of like scheduled when most people are battling the traffic on the way into the office. But that's like a really, really fun hour or half an hour. And like, you know, last week we had ExtraHop in, you know, before that we had Wiz, and they just talk about like what they see with customers. And it's been a ton of fun and really, really helped our, like the people like really understand like how big a threat security is and what it's doing to companies right now.
John, I love that idea. And I'm wondering with everybody listening, if, you know, I'm looking at everybody's listening right now, give me a thumbs up if you like this idea for the coffee hour. I'm connected with tons different technology providers, big, small. Thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you, Chetna. I'm connected with tons of them. If you read any of my articles on CIO or InfoWorld, there's probably a half a dozen to a dozen companies that I'm quoting. Some of them you'll know and some of them you'll never heard of before. And I could easily see myself dedicating maybe a 10-minute spot to them to talk about what their technology does and what they're interested in. Thank you, Ashish. And Liz, I'm getting enough votes here. I think we may have to experiment with this. You know I'm an experimenter. Thank you, Joe. I think we're going to have to try this out at a future episode and see if we like it. So, John, thank you for that. Joe, we're getting down to our last 9 minutes. We're talking about fun, growth, and learning activities, open-ended conversation. Anything you'd like to leave with the group about something that should be on their agenda this summer for learning and growing?
Well, I think we've covered, more than covered the step outside your cover zone angle. I always do go to that as kind of my first recommendation for people to grow both personally and professionally. Just take on a challenge that you might not otherwise consider. Do something different. Do something a little wild, a little crazy, and see what happens.
Oh, boy. Joe, going off on the wild side here. Have a great summer, Joe. I hope we can meet up again for some dinner. Let's see. Kato, any beyond the hackathon, any other recommendations for everybody?
I think I'd have to say reading. I think just taking time and disconnecting from technology sometimes would be extremely useful. Just going in nature and just doing a bit of reading, but also reflecting. I think that's a massive help for learning in the learning process.
I completely agree, Kato. I didn't say what I was having fun this summer with. I'm trying to get at least 2 bike rides in every single week, weather permitting. I did a good 60-mile ride yesterday. I definitely get my thinking going during those. So that's my fun activity. But I highly recommend get off the grid a little bit. Do it for a long enough period of time to clear your thoughts, and you'll be amazed at what new ideas come to mind. John, last thoughts for this week?
Well, the one thing I found is like in the business world, like on the soft skills, leadership skills, the thing that's moved the needle for me in my career more than anything is spending time with very senior people, getting coaching and mentoring. And so that's the thing that like when I was at Accenture, I'm no longer there. I've been there for 10 years, but like they assign people to you and it's your job to like build these people into leaders. And so that's one thing that like I really, really like when I was at a larger company. Now that I'm at a smaller company, there's kind of like less layers of people above you. So it's, you just get less exposure to it. But I also did join a paid mentoring group. And that's been really helpful for me to really kind of reflect on what's important to me. And it's something that I've had a ton of fun with and I've really invested in it.
Thank you, John. Thank you for sharing. I think you do your deep thinking over the winter during ski month. So I hope you have a substitute activity during the summertime. Kristen, any last thoughts for the group?
Nope, but thanks for having me up and letting me share.
Kristen, I have a few suggestion companies for you to look at. I will follow up afterward later this afternoon. As I know a few companies in this space around data protection. So I'll just send you a quick list afterward. And that's the other thing, folks. Don't forget, you can just email me your question or DM me your question. If you're going through a search like this and you just want some suggestions, I'm happy to give them. My LinkedIn message box does get filled up sometimes, so it might take me a few days. And if you don't hear from me, ping me again, because there's a lot of spam on LinkedIn, unfortunately. But if you do have a question, do reach out to me. Martin, last call for this session. Joanne had to drop off. Any last thoughts on growth, fun, and learning activities this summer?
I think the point about taking time for yourself and your family and actually decompressing is extremely good. Don't think all about learning and other things like that. Yeah, read a book if you've got time. Listen to an audible book. Yeah, listen to a podcast or whatever. But also look at doing something different, doing something you've never done before, and just whatever it might be.
Thank you, John. You wanted to say something about security? Go for it before we close out.
I was mentioning about the Cyber Power Thursday, which is when we bring the security people in, and yeah, it, that should have been so much fun.
My air conditioner guy is here. I'm told that my air conditioning is working. For those of you who joined early and heard me, that we were out and he was just peeking in to say hi. Thank you, Martin. Folks, thank you for joining this week's Coffee Hour. I will leave you with one announcement about the community that I'm joining. I'm experimenting with a new sort of, Martin will tell me if it's an innovation or not, but it combines micro-learning and advisory and coaching. I'm calling it a micro-advisory. It's a way of learning something very quickly and then connecting with an expert. And this is all being part of the launch of my new community that I will be announcing over the next few weeks here. Do join us because I will be giving everybody here who listens a free coupon code to join. I look forward to seeing all of you on that. But for now, next week's episode, AI Era Transformations, Advantages and Challenges in Industry 4.0, July 19th, Culture Transformations, Turning Around a Jaded, Demoralized Department, and then the 26th, Accelerating Transformation, PMO's Role in AI and Driving Innovation, and finally, August 2nd, Cultivating Digital Trailblazers, Preparing for an Executive Interview. So those are our upcoming episodes. If you want an early invite to the community, do sign up at starcio.com/coffee. That will get you on the early invite list. It will get you access to my newsletter. So if you have not done so already, thank you, Mohammed, you will get access to it early. You will get the coupon code that way. So those of you who have done this, you'll be getting that shortly. I'm rolling this out really slowly. It's not going to go out to the general public for at least another couple months because I want to get this right. So thank you for listening, everybody. I'm hoping you've got some ideas for fun learning and growth activities for this summer. If you have any questions around that or ideas around it, do direct message me. Thank you for joining. Everybody have a great weekend.